Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear.
My next guest is Mother Gopi Guda. She guides parents in leadership to empower their child's social environments. Her clients' grown children led teams across the U.S. as a vice principal of a private school and educational consultant for an international society. She mentions thousands of parents, educators, and children using classic Bhati practices from the East. Her new book, Leadership Parenting, How to Empower Your Child's Social Success, is launching June 30th. Welcome, Gopi.
Hi, Dana. So good to be here. So glad to finally have connected with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you on and talk a little bit about your experience as an educator and also somebody who helps parents who are having difficulties with their children. But we'll start off with the question I ask everybody at the beginning. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
That's such a great question for this time, Dana. I'm telling you, I've been actually actively in the classrooms now for 22 years. And this past 3 years has been the hardest time. I'm sure all of you who are teachers can relate with children having to navigate a pandemic, very young children having to navigate not being with their friends on screens, remote or in person with masks. It's been so sad, Dana, to be in the classroom and to have to tell a child, hey, space, stay away, step back. Especially like a, you know, first grader, a six-year-old, a seven-year-old. And the strongest trench story I can tell you is one evening, January 2021, I got a call. We had just finished our winter break. We were back in school. And one of our new students, new to the school that year, her mom was in the hospital with her. And she called me just out of needing support. She had a very young child, so her husband was home with the baby. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I'm in the hospital. My daughter has fallen and hit her head. And she has a big gash in the front of her head. And I think this is because of the drama of her friendships. I think she fainted because she's been crying when she comes home every single day. And I just rushed to the hospital because I've had enough hospital time in my life that I wanted to make sure she had somebody with her during the pandemic. And so it took about 45 minutes, but I went there and I sat with her and mom just started pouring out like a ton of feelings. This was the most dramatic of these problems, the problems of little children trying to socially navigate the jumping, like the child jumps into like a really intense relationship of love. And then they're both so young, 5, 4, 5, 6 years old, both of the kids involved. They don't know how to navigate the intensity. And the intensity, half of it is moderated through screens because they're connecting through screens. So it's already not as healthy as it could be. And then they like separate out and they get upset at each other. They get angry at each other and they come back. And this like pendulum type of problem where children are still trying to figure out how to be friends with each other when they haven't had that time in their development for a year and a half to have social interactions. This has been the hardest trenches story. I can share so many of them that happened this past few years.
Yeah. No, I get that totally. And like losing how to I would say just those expectations in the classroom, but also like what is acceptable behavior with peers. I mean, you can accept a lot of that with the lower grades, maybe the preschoolers, but like you're seeing this in the third graders, the fourth graders, et cetera, as you know, the 2021-22 school year went on, and you're hoping it gets a little bit better during the 2022-23 school year. But let's talk a little bit about client success. So through your consulting organization, you work with a lot of parents and they come to you when the kids are being bullied. So, how have you helped parents help their child?
Yeah, so I have been working with parents for quite a few years as the admin of our private school in Dallas, also as the education minister for North America for an international society. I work with parents all across North America. And right now I'm definitely, as soon as I had that interaction, I stepped right into working with parents who are looking for social success, whose kids are unhappy, who are crying when they get home, who don't have friends, can't keep friends. So the client, I have so many client success stories from the past few years since January 2021. In February, I launched this new program, started writing the book really actively. And the most exciting one is, of course, with the kids that I see on a day-to-day basis. I work with their parents and I give them the tools that I've laid out in my book. And then I see those children, like, you know, 3 weeks prior, I'll be sitting on the playground and I'll watch the interactions of how they go up to each other and start talking to each other. And the girl who, her name is Angela, who I'm working with directly. And she's uncomfortable, unhappy. And within 10 minutes, her friends, they're like five, and her five-year-old friend would be like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. Oh, leave us alone. Like, I'm looking for some space. And then Angela just completely falls apart. I'm holding her in my lap. My head in here. I have no friends. And then, of course, we contact the parents, the teacher of the class contacts the mom. And then the mom discusses with me, oh, my God, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. And just 3 weeks later, after working with her, to literally watch her like skipping home with her friends, being so happy with the play dates that she has scheduled out, knowing that when someone says a negative, what seems to be a negative thing for her, like being able to watch her pause her reactivity because of not anything that I'm doing, but something that her mom is doing that I've worked with her mom on, and say, oh, okay, did that make you feel, use empathic communication. We've got this whole peace flower process, the Montessori peace flower that we use in the classrooms. We have a Montessori classroom for the early childhood, but I'm teaching this to the parents, how to do this with the parents, and the parents use that at home, and immediately it shows. 5 and 6 and 7 year olds are like sponges. They pick things up immediately. If they're getting an empathic environment, then immediately they can use that with in their tools with their friends. And so that right there, that little girl who was 3 weeks prior, I hate it here, to complete change, where there's no more tears, there's no more drama. She's happy with her friends. Just simple techniques that her parents are using. And just that visual for me of three kids coming together, playing in the garden, leaving school together, you know, maybe not hand in hand. You've got the cliche, like they're holding hands and skipping away, but it's literally like that feeling of them skipping away, happy to play with each other. I love that. That for me is like my success, like when a child does, when a child feels that.
Yeah. And it's definitely like you see that happy ending, and like there's some, been so much dysregulation with kids in the past couple of years. So being able to see how they are going back to kind of like their old selves from prior to the pandemic is like definitely the definition of success. So you mentioned a little bit in that previous question about your new book. So as of release date of the podcast, it will have been published. So talk to me a little bit about the writing process, the like the time, how long it was in the making, and what it, what's about a little bit, so people who are interested in buying it can find out about it.
Yeah, wow. Oh my goodness, this process has been crazy. It's been way more work than I've ever imagined. I am also a language, you know, I'm a language arts teacher because I'm an elementary school teacher. So teaching my kids grammar and structure and vocabulary and then having to apply it in a like super crazy way. It's a 300-page book. It goes through step-by-step empowerment process, exactly what tips and tools and strategies, and all of the principles are pretty common parenting strategies, or most of the parenting strategies have similar styles, similar concepts, that these are taken from the bhakti tradition in India. And so every single concept has like a Sanskrit affirmation, a Sanskrit, a concise Sanskrit language that comes with it. I don't share so much of the Sanskrit in there, but it was so cool for me to connect with my roots, because I was raised in a temple in America. We moved from temple to temple. My dad was a dentist and a priest. And so to be able to get all of those classic Eastern spiritual principles that can be applied to parenting, and to build on those techniques of communication. Dana, you're a mom. And so when you know that there is a problem with a child, when you feel that in your heart, that the pain of a child's dysfunction of a child's tears, when our children cry, it can hurt us as well, you know? And so me having seen all of these children, and not just in our own school, but, you know, in the whole, everywhere I look, like, oh my God, this pandemic has affected them so much. And I mean, we all know this, educators across the country right now know that our social emotional growth for our children are stunted. So being able to then write out all of the solutions in a book, but to feel it, like I would work late at night. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. I would work late at night. I would really stay deep in intention that I want to help these kids, because I know personally that what a child experiences in the first 15 years of their life will stay with them as the foundation for the rest of their life. And so if they're having broken social relationships at a time when they're building their identity at 3 and 4 and 5 and 7 and 9, it's going to affect them like in ways that we won't even know for the rest of their life. So being able to sit in that space and realize that, wow, there are so many solutions, and they're really so easy. They just need to be shared with the world. And so that was what the process was, grueling in the writing part of it, but in the concepts and the ideas flowing from me, it was just pure magic. It was just magical, because I felt like I was solving all of this dysfunction in my own heart from seeing the kids being in pain. And I felt like I was solving it for myself and for whoever else wants to read this book. And so it was really, really like flow. I was in a state of flow.
Yeah, I could tell as you talk about it and just your passion for it. And, you know, I advise people to find the book. It will be sold wherever books are sold online, correct?
Amazon, yes. Amazon.com. And I've got already quite a few pre-sales, you know, because we're doing this before it's sold. And okay. It's going to be on Amazon. It's Leadership Parenting, Empower Your Child's Social Success. That's the book's name, Leadership Parenting, Empower Your Child's Social Success.
Great, great. So I will put a link in the show notes to the Amazon link for that. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what spirituality has to do with leadership empowerment, as you talked a little bit about Sanskrit and the Bhati tradition.
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the book, I share principles of communication, from communication, how they can worship their work. Like a part of a child's social development is to make them confident in who they are and what they stand for. So if a friend says, hey, I don't want to do that with you right now, it doesn't completely crush them, because they have 10 other options of what they know they're good at and what they know they enjoy working on. And so in the bhakti space, the way we do physical activities is as a meditation, is as a service. And so the chapter level is called Worship Their Work, how parents can infuse that positive, spiritual, intentional energy to everything their child does. You know, we have the tendency when our kid is quiet, especially when they're young and in the other room and we don't know what they're doing, to automatically jump into negative reactivity. It's just how generationally we've dealt with children. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they must be getting in trouble. Oh my God, what are they doing? And then go in there and perhaps say something negative. Why are you wasting your time? How can you be making a mess? And so I switch it in this specific chapter on worship your work, switch that and give parents the tools to speak empowering messages and use that observation of what is your child doing when they're in a state of flow to that will empower their purpose. And then skipping forward, we talk about how to deal with mistakes, how mistakes are so important in life. From the Bhakti tradition, we see mistakes as part of the process of growth. And there's like a bunch of information in there. And moving on to, once a child knows their purpose, now you can think, I know some questions and parents, when they see my spiel and the question they have before they sign up with me to help them, to coach them, they're like, I don't even know my purpose. Like, how are you telling me you're going to teach me the purpose of a child? But the beauty of it is, not only have I done it with my own two boys, I have two they're not, I guess the older one's not a teenager anymore, he's 20. And I have a 18-year-old, he just turned 18. I've done it with them. I've done it with all of my leadership, youth leadership classes. I've done it with all of the parents that are working with. I've been doing this for 20 years. And you can develop a child's purpose starting at age 5. And it's just such a beautiful thing. But you were asking about the spirituality. How does the spirituality come there? If you are tied and connected internally to source. Now, whether you Mother Nature or universe or God, or you have a specific name of God, according to whatever faith or tradition you're in. If you're tied internally to source, and if you spend time in my...
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Mindfulness and meditation, like just doing nothing but your meditation, your spiritual practice, and mindfulness, bringing that meditation into every act with your child. Okay. That is what bhakti is. And when you do that, you become connected to your child in a way that is so much stronger than the connection you have without it. And what I encourage parents to do is to do that meditation with their child.
Okay.
On a regular basis, whether it be, and I specifically introduce mantra meditation, which is a meditation of sacred sound. It's something that's really popular in America now. It's growing. The communities are growing. Sacred sound, transcendental sound, and it helps the mood, sound and songs and all that really change, you know, kids' moods. Kids love singing. And so it's a type of meditation that kids can connect with because they love music and they love sound. And so mantra meditation, a little bit of mantra meditation a few times a week it's introduced in my book. But more than that, when you are connected with your child and both of you are connected internally and grounded in your purpose and grounded in your own self, that's when you can start to empathize. So then in chapter 12, I talk about empathy. That's when a child can start really understanding, okay, what are the feelings of my friends? Why are they upset? Even at 5, I had a little boy who was sitting in a chair and they were all coloring. All the kids were working on some project. And he was like splayed out completely over the desk, taking over his friend's space because they're sharing the desk space. And his friend comes over and is annoyed. Oh my God, he's taken over my space. And his friend picks up his own chair and like moves it brusquely. And the leg of the chair drops onto this little boy, let's call him Raj, Raj's foot.
Yeah.
And Raj screams, you know, there's so much drama in classrooms. Yeah. Your classroom. And so Raj screams, he's, you know, overly dramatic, right? And it hurts, and falls to the floor dramatically. And I'm like, okay, wow, this is a problem. I jump up, right, to go help.
Yeah.
And then as he falls, he had scissors in his hand, and the scissors fly over to his friend Carl's nose. And luckily, thank the Lord, it only hit Carl's nose, the blunt side of it, you know, because scissors flying is like a big freaky situation. And so now Carl's crying, and Raj is crying. And I'm looking at both of them like, okay, let's address this. Like, I have to immediately jump into care mode, right? But then Raj, his foot is hurting. His toe has been stepped on. I don't know how intense it wasn't. It wasn't black and blue yet. And at that moment, I don't know how intense it is. So I'm trying to decide which child do I go to first and call the assistant over. And Raj stops mid-scream and looks over at Carl and says, oh, Carl, did you get hurt too? That moment right there where a child is in pain can stop their pain and acknowledge the pain of someone else, even if you're still in blaming and accusing and angry mode. When you're in pain, you jump into blame and accusing and anger. And kids do that too, actually.
Yeah.
And so to start this process, because we do it as adults, and to start this process of empathy, in order to do that, a child needs to be firmly rooted. And that's why I promote meditation with a parent. And because when you're firmly rooted in your identity, then even if you're suffering or you're having a hard time, you can use that empathy and care for someone else. I know this is what Martin Luther King stood for, universal brotherhood, love conquers hate. And from there, you can move into, once you have the empathy, you start seeing empathy in your child, you can move into collaboration, and then you can move into leadership. And all of that empathy, collaboration, leadership, understanding the hearts of someone else, having your child understand, why is my friend upset right now, instead of just immediately jumping into reactivity. Mm-hmm. All of that, I believe very strongly, only comes with the help of Source, with the help of the universe or the divine or whatever you want to call that spiritual being that, you know, we all may believe in or we may believe in. So that's where meditation comes in.
Yeah, and I know it's becoming more and more popular, at least at the elementary school level, but I think for every level with students, like you said, it helps them become rooted and handle those stressful situations easier. So you talked a lot about those opportunities for kids to gain empathy through meditation and mindfulness, but how can young children be connected to leadership? Talk about your own school and working in a multi-level classroom.
Yes, so leadership is a beautiful thing to watch. I'm on a mission to normalize leadership. Leadership is everywhere. We just have to keep our eyes open to it. Leadership is in our children. And if we empower our children with leadership from the beginning, they will see themselves as leaders. Leadership is as simple as helping another child, stepping into the space of helping someone else. So the best definition of leadership was given at the St. Mark's School of Texas, an elite private school here we have in the Dallas area, where Colin Igor, he said, leadership is about helping each other achieve a common goal. Everyone together, working together to achieve a common goal. Not my goal, not your goal, not this other person's goal, but something that helps all of us. And leadership is any parent, I call a leadership parent, any parent who's working, whether it be managing teams at the corporate space, at home, with your community, in your volunteering, helping others to achieve a common goal. And children can step into that also by seeing that their needs are not the only priority, but that others. So from empathy, we move into collaboration, which is techniques of how do you have your child? How do you work with your child to make sure their needs are met and their friends' needs are met? And of course, I'm in a classroom. So in a classroom, it's easy to do. We have so many group projects. We have grouped conversations. We have inquiry-based lessons. At home, you can set up similar circumstances, similar environments of working with the siblings, working with the parents, having your children be key part of decision-making. What are we going to do this summer? Where are we going to go? Giving them tons of choices, asking them to help make the meal plan. There's just long lists also in my book, specific techniques of how to empower your child to leadership. And all of those have been learned for the multi-classroom environment. You specifically asked about that. It's an older kid. It doesn't even have to be an older kid. It's one child knowing that the other child needs help and going and saying, hey, let's do this together. And peer teaching is so powerful. It's so much more than what I could as a teacher offer or as a parent. Hey, you guys have a problem. Why don't you work together to sort it out? They're empowering their leadership skills by working with each other. And I want to tell you a quick story on that as well. One of my young students came into the classroom with a beautiful book. It was fall break. Fall break was over. And she had spent the whole fall break writing this beautiful book. Mm-hmm. And because I have a Montessori-esque classroom for the lower elementary and at our school for the younger classes, we do a lot of intrinsic motivation activities and project-based lessons. And so she was so excited about this book, she wanted to share everybody Monday morning. And naturally, all the other kids wanted to make books too. And you know, it's part of language arts. They're going to learn the reading. They're going to learn the writing. I'm into academic flow. So I put aside the like set lesson for that day. And I'm like, sure, go for it. And all of the, literally five of her peers are just busy making books. They get the stencils, get the cutouts, they get the die cuts, they get everything. And they're making books. That for me was leadership. A child so absorbed in their flow that they're inspiring others to do the same thing. And anytime anybody needs help, oh, how did you do that? Oh, did you use a stapler on that? Oh, how did you get that corner cut? Well, what about how I should draw the picture? Should it be up at the top or at the bottom? And this is how, this is our all of this can be done in the house too. And so I share in the book and with my working personally with clients, how to empower your child to lead. Right now, my 20-year-old for the past 3 years has been helping me with Bhakti Leadership Academy, online institute where we guide teenagers across North America. And he is in a breakout room with the other adult facilitators, myself and the other adult facilitators. And every time we have an ALP or action learning plan, all of the teenagers jump into his breakout room for support because he has empowered, he knows how to lead. He knows how to ask questions. He knows, and I'm like, I had to jump in there. Like, why are they not in my room? I'm the teacher of this class. And I go in there and listen to the facilitation that he's doing. And he's like totally in it because he's empowered with these leadership principles since he was very young. And even right now, just yesterday, I had a Facebook Live with another leadership class. They're graduating this Friday and they're running a program. They have 60 people. Three of my leadership students are 14, 15. They're going to have 60 people in their in their house and doing an evening event and sharing a concept and teaching to 60 people. And we're really excited about it. We're laying it out. So I can do this. I can teach a parent to do this for 6-year-olds, for 8-year-olds, for 15-year-olds. Leadership is in your blood. It's just a matter of like knowing how to, it's in your child's blood. It's just a matter of knowing how to empower that. So there is a process to get there. You do need to make sure that your child is very firmly rooted in their identity before you expect them to go help others and understand others. So that process is all they do.
Yeah. So people can refer to your book for some of those tips as well. Correct.
Oh, yes. The book takes you. It's on a journey from friend drama to leadership. It's 15 chapters and it takes you step by step by step. And I can also tell when a step has been missed just by observation, hearing the parents' observations. I can tell that, oh, this child's not firmly rooted yet in purpose. Oh, this child isn't firmly yet rooted in their tasks. There's three core needs of every child. And those core needs, once they're fulfilled, at the height of those three core needs is then when you can add that collaboration and leadership proponent component to it.
Okay. Well, we talked a lot today about your experience working with a lower level grades, incorporating mindfulness into the classroom, what people can expect from reading your book. Out of everything we talked about, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is such a beautiful question. I'd love to pause here for a second and ask you, out of everything I talked about, and I know I'm flipping the script suddenly here, but just curious, Dina, out of all of this, you're a mom. What stands out the most for you?
I think working with kids to be able to dysregulate, like when they're having those peer conflicts, right? Because when they're more grounded in themselves, they're able to, get through those situations better. And if kids can learn that even at kindergarten or preschool age, that goes a long way for when they're having conflicts at the high school level.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? To dysregulate, like not become so reactive and whatnot.
Yeah.
What I want to say, the ending thing that I would love to say after hearing your response is that parents need care because we want our children to become, to be centered and not reactive with their friendships, right? Mm-hmm. Everything you learn about social environment, you learn in kindergarten, share, don't get upset, have your boundaries. But as parents, we ourselves have had such a up and down, whether through this pandemic or just through what life hits us with. We've already gone through so much struggle that sometimes it's hard to imagine knowing how to make your child work through social issues if we ourselves don't have all the tools to deal with it, to deal with the challenges that come our way, like cancer or relationships breaking or job issues, you know, illness, hospital time, if we ourselves are not centered. And so my takeaway, you know, what I would love for parents to do is first completely rest yourself. Find your place of space, peace, tranquility, even if it means getting away. I've got a whole list of 25 escape, I call them escape ideas. Get away, find your grounding space where you can process everything that happened to you in your childhood, why you're being reactive to your children, why things upset you so much, what calamities have you faced in your life? Because your children are just through osmosis picking all that up, even if you don't speak about it. Just 2 nights ago, because I'm in summer mode, I'm home, my kids know I'm home. My son was talking to me about how the time period where my husband, he got a pretty serious illness, and that time period, I was also like really flustered and didn't do so well when he was 10 years old. And he's like, you would be out at night and I would be wondering, when are you coming home? When are you coming home? And it created an anxiety in me as to like, when's mom coming home? That every time I was reactive, it affected him. And he can tell me now because we're friends and he's 20. But when he was 10, he wasn't able to tell me. And so that's the biggest, the most important thing for leadership parenting is that a parent first be able to find that space of, regulating their emotions, finding their love, finding their peace. And then that will automatically, you'll be able to implement all these other principles of communication and how to get your kid to work and how to enforce consequences and how to keep strong boundaries and all of that. And so that would be takeaway.
That's so important to think about, you know, how they'll, you know, tell you later on, like how they experience a certain situation and how you reacted. Yeah. So they are listening. Where could people connect with you and find you online?
So gopigita.com is my website, GOPIGITA.com. And there's quite a few resources up there. If you go to the parents section, you'll get information and blogs and whatnot. And you can find my book there. And that's, you can contact me there. I'd love to talk to you guys, to meet whoever is listening, whoever is connecting with this message. I'd love to speak to you. I'd love to see how I can serve, how I can help.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. And it was a pleasure having you on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dana.
Are you excited that in-person conferences are back? I know I am. In fact, I'm excited to announce that I will be at the 2022 Teach Better Conference this October 14th and 15th in Akron, Ohio. I'll be recording episodes live, attending sessions, and connecting with a whole bunch of amazing educators. It would be awesome if you could join us. Head over to www.teachbetterconference.com/register and use the code OUTOFTHETRENCHES to save $50 off your 2-day registration. I hope to see you next month. Your affiliate code again is Out of the Trenches, lowercase, no spaces.
Check out the show notes on danagoodier.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.